Another saying that goes, elephants never forget. Well, I don't know if that's fact, right? We don't know if that's ever been really proven. But it has been shown that elephants do not get cancer, or at least their risk for cancer is much lower than it should be for such a big animal. This is something called Peto's paradox, put forth by the epidemiologist Richard Peto in the late 70s. The thought goes that larger animals have more cells. The more cells, the higher probability that one of those cells will turn cancerous. But this doesn't seem to hold up in nature, including elephants. Why is this? Scientists were curious about this question, so they looked to the genome of the elephants, and their results were published this week in the journal Cell Reports. My next guest is one of the authors. Juan Manuel Vazquez is a PhD candidate in human genetics at the University of Chicago. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, welcome. Thank you very much for having me here.
Talk about Peto's paradox. Is the idea of bigger animals should be more prone to cancer?
Yeah, so if you think about it, cancer in like a multicellular organism, it's just any cell in your body kind of going crazy and suddenly like dividing by crazy, forming a tumor. And so when you think about what exactly should lead to this, well, we all have cells, but the bigger ones among us, like people who are taller, have more cells than those who are shorter. And so you'd think that if any cell goes crazy and that causes cancer, then just having more cells should increase your odds. And what we actually do see in humans is that it's true. Taller people do have a higher risk of cancer, and large dogs also have a taller, higher risk of cancer than small dogs do. And the other thing that we see a lot is time is very important. So cells accumulate damage over time, and then you become cancerous when you get that right set of mutations. So the longer you live, that should also play a very large role into whether or not you get cancer over your lifetime. And what we've seen is that as people have gotten older and older, we actually have seen an increase in the rates of cancer in older populations. And we also see this in other species as well. So the idea goes, if you have an animal, regardless of the species, that is large and long-lived, like elephants and whales, you should see that these animals have a higher risk of cancer than a smaller animal. And what we actually do see is that there is no correlation like across like a wide evolutionary tree of life between these things.
So you took it on yourself to find out why.
Yeah, well, that's the whole, like, our goal is to find out the exact mechanisms by which this happens, yeah.
And you think you found an answer?
We found a piece of the puzzle for sure.
Now tell us about that.
So there's this protein called a leukemia inhibitory factor, which is called LIF for short. And all mammals have a copy of LIF. It's very important in terms of the developmental pathways that makes us, like, you know, go from just a couple cells to a human or a dog or whatever animal you want. And what we found was that in the process of just looking for duplicates of tumor suppressors, of which this gene is like one of them, we found that elephants and their most closely related animals, the relatives, which are the manatee and the hyrax, they all have a lot of copies of this. But when we looked further, only elephants had a functional copy and even like an additional functional copy to the normal one. And the weirder part was that this functional copy was actually more closely related to some of the copies present in manatees and hyraxes than the actual mother copy of the gene in the elephants, which means that actually this gene, this new like copy, used to be off and it used to be dead, just part of what we would consider the junk DNA of the genome. But elephants were able to, in the process of when they evolved to become the elephants that you and I know nowadays, they were able to evolve a new binding site for a very important protein in the elephant body called P53, which regulates like DNA damage cell response and other kinds of like, you know, just generally getting a feel how the cell is doing. And so what this does is, you know, they now have this copy of a gene which, you know, normally induces like cell death. And if that were active in any kind of cell, that would be bad, right? You don't really want your cells dying all over the place.
Hate it when that happens.
Yeah, no, it's the worst. But, you know, if you have this now regulated by something that's only present at high levels in a cell when you're under high risk of cell damage, and which could lead to cancer, what you have is now a perfect way of coping with your increased cancer risk by actually dealing with cells before they become cancerous in the first place.
Wow. This is Science Friday from WNYC Studios. So the elephants have a lot more of this stuff in them that would prevent the cancer from forming than we do.
Yes, that's correct. So it's also more correct to say that they have a very specialized variant. So it's kind of like if you had a Swiss Army, like if we all have like a Swiss Army blade, and the Swiss Army blade has a lot of functions, but then the elephants, in addition to that, actually have like, you know, a good wrench to actually go in and to the works.
Yeah. So why don't we, you know, we folks, we people and other animals have more copies of this thing, if it's so good.
Yeah, so like I said, one thing is to have like a mechanism that actually like, you know, kills a cell on demand when you need it. Another thing is just to have like, you know, a wild gun loose in your body. So because this is a developmental gene, generally when we think about this gene, we don't really think about it as killing cells because, you know, that would be really bad if you're only a couple cells like in your animal and like as an embryo. But when you're talking about the elephants, this was originally dead, so it wasn't actually expressed at all. So then, you know, it's just kind of floating around a genome, and it's not harming anyone. In terms of when we think about what it does it mean to actually evolve like something new, there's a bit of luck involved in addition to just having being at the right place at the right time. So elephants, when they increased in size from like the common ancestor of manatees, they really had an increased, we believe they would have an increased risk of cancer, and that wouldn't be good for the organism. So somewhere along the line, this proto-elephant develops this mutation, which allows it to express this protein right in the nick of time.
I understand that. Well, why haven't we developed that mutation to do that? Just unlucky?
Yeah, so it's just like, you know, just the kind of random thing that the elephants happen to already have a copy, and we don't have any extra copies of this protein.
Can we get a copy or six?
Yeah, so unfortunately, you know, human genetic engineering, we're still a ways off from doing that in a stable fashion. You know, maybe give us a couple of more million years and we will evolve something similar to this. But in the short term, you know, we can use what we've learned from these like findings in elephants to actually make drug analogs that can treat cancer in these similar ways.
You sound very excited about this. How did you get involved in this?
So I've always been very passionate about cancer research, actually. So unfortunately, when I was very young, when I was about 4 or 5, my grandma died of full body cancer. And I had many other people in my family actually pass away from cancer. And so I've always had a vendetta, you know? And at the same time, I've always been very passionate about research, about various kinds of, like, you know, cutting-edge technologies. And when I was in the University of Rochester doing my undergrad, I happened to, like, be in the right place at the right time because there was the lab that was working on the naked mole rats and their cancer resistance. And that was about the time that we discovered about, the mechanism by which the naked mole rats develop cancer resistance. And I just knew that I found my calling, and I went into the research, and I've been very lucky to be involved ever since.
So where do you think your next step in this research is?
So far we have a couple of examples in the elephant of tumor suppressors which have been duplicated in order to deal with their increased cancer risk. And, you know, elephants are one animal, but there's also the bowhead whale, which lives 211 years and weighs several tons, which is another, like, big animal that you think would have a lot of cancer but doesn't. So we have this general idea of, like, you know, maybe this tumor suppressor duplication mechanism should be a bona fide way to actually, like, you know, reduce your risk of cancer. And so what I've been doing is I wrote a script to actually try to find all the different instances of tumor suppressors in these animals, and we're just kind of going through them. You know, if we found two, there must be more. So we're just looking for all of them instead of just picking a handful and seeing what they do.
Good for and good luck. Good luck. Good idea there. Good.
Thank you very much.
Good luck and keep up your enthusiasm.
Thank you very much.
Juan Manuel Vasquez is a PhD candidate in human genetics, University of Chicago. Good luck on getting that.
Thank you so much.